to Ray and Tay. Today it's hump day. Wednesday. This is Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Tay, Eric Taylor, and busy day. There's a lot going on in sports, and that's good because that means we got stuff to talk about, and it's exciting. So you want to join us, hit us up. It's 718-664-9098. Also, like you guys do so faithfully, and we love it, hit us up with the emails, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, and obviously that's R-A-E-A-N-D-T-A-Y today. Also, Facebook, Twitter, the same thing, and just thank you. Thank you for keeping us on your calendars. We come Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and we try to bring a lot of fun and a different way to sort of break down and analyze sports with some flavor. So, break it down, Ray. Let them know how we're rocking today.
We're rolling with Rush. We have a lot of breaking news today, so a lot of different segments across the sports world. So we'll talk about that. We got some baseball, some football, some college, some real juicy stuff happening in the world of sports. We'll talk about some college basketball last night and tonight. We've got the Big Ten ACC, even though they should be calling it the Big 14 soon enough. Big Ten ACC basketball showdown. We've got the Big East
the
and the
talent.
SEC lining up later this week. We've got some NBA talk. We had some juicy NBA happenings last night. We've got our segment, Where You At Wednesday, where we do a little apropos college and pro basketball. We got a guy that many of you will remember. He's a lefty, like Ray, left-handed. So, yeah, we'll go take a trip down memory lane with him. And then we'll finalize the show with a Thursday night football preview. Can the New Orleans Saints keep their playoff hopes alive, or is that going to be crushed this week, tomorrow night? So
at Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, at
week
Atlanta,
13, man.
Atlanta doesn't really need the game as much as New Orleans, but New Orleans, if they lose this game, they're pretty much done for the playoffs. But, yeah, that's it. That's what we got. So let's jump into some breaking news. Why don't you start us off, Tay?
Well, listen, I mean, let's go to San Francisco, where we found out Jim Harbaugh in his press conference just about an hour or so ago said that Colin Kaepernick is his starter. He's not saying it's for the rest of the season or anything else, but he's starting against the Rams. So looks like it's Kaepernick's job to lose.
Well, but he said it.
Alex Smith never lost it, right?
Right. He said it with such mixed feelings. He said, yeah, Kaepernick's my guy. And then there was a pause, and then he said, and Alex Smith is still the guy, too, or something like that. So it wasn't like he was all in with Colin Kaepernick.
I think he's trying to sort of keep Alex ready because he might need to go back to him. But I think he's trying to groom Kaepernick for the playoffs and for a championship run. So I think he's making the right decision. But also, the Niners have done something really smart, and that's signed Navarro Bowman to a 5-year deal, $45 million, $25 million signing bonus. So at least that's, you know, the NFL, that's the only part that's guaranteed is that signing bonus. So that's good. You know, I mean, good for him. He's a great, great linebacker and really solidifies that linebacking core and that defense. Look at their guys, right? Alden and Justin Smith.
Patrick Willis.
Golston, Willis. Bowman, you know, the Whitmore, at each level, right, the defensive line, the linebackers and the secondary, they've got Pro Bowlers who are young and studs. So that's encouraging, you know.
Yeah, they lost Kendall Hunter for the year, though, so they're on offense.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It looks like Gore's just banged up, but will probably play. But Kendall Hunter, man, that hurts. He's on my fantasy team. That hurts. Some good news, though. DeMarco Murray practiced and might actually be able to play on Sunday night against the Eagles for the Cowboys. And our boy Greg Jennings is back and will probably start this week for the Packers. And he practiced
today.
Green
Bay really needs him to just solidify the receiving core, even though they have talent out there with Cobb and Jordy Nelson and JerMichael Finley. But Greg Jennings is their guy. So and he's a comfort receiver there for Aaron Rodgers. So that's good news. DeSean
and
Jackson,
he's the number one
stunner, in Philly. Oh, yeah, yeah. DeSean Jackson went down in Philly, so he's done for the year. And I guess the other news in football is that the Eagles cut Babin yesterday, and then there was until 4 o'clock today, and he got picked up by, of all teams, the 2-9 Jacksonville Jaguars. So supposedly there were 8 teams, and my guess is almost all of them had playoff aspirations or were in the hunt for the playoffs, and because it's reverse order of record, the team with the worst record, Jacksonville, gets him.
Snatches him up first.
Yeah, and look, it's a good deal for them because they pay his prorated version of his salary, $1.7 million, and they get a free look at a guy who basically doesn't make that much money for an elite pass rusher. He makes 5 years, $28 million, so he's in the second year of that contract, which averages out to, $5.5 million a year or so. And they are last in the league with 13 sacks. So they have fewer sacks than J.J. Watt and your boy in Denver. Von Miller. So for them, you know, of course, there are some playoff teams out there that really wanted Jason Babin. But for Jacksonville, hey, you know what? It's a free look. They get not free. Obviously, they pay a salary, but it's a look. They can give him a look this year and then decide if they want to keep him next year. I'm sure he had no visions of being in Jacksonville for the rest of his career. He thought he'd be in Philly, or maybe when he got cut, he thought, wow, I can be a free agent again. So we'll see what Jacksonville does in the offseason. But for now, they get a look, a pretty cheap look at an elite pass rusher.
The question is, what effort is he going to put forth? They said he was kind of dogging it at Philly. He wasn't doing that much this year, so we'll see. But, you know. Now, also, the Steelers have announced that Jonathan Dwyer is going to start. And, you know, I kind of like that as a Steeler fan, starting at running back, and he's sort of, you know, in the revolving door, he sort of stand up to be Superman. I think he's going to run all over the Ravens, so that should be interesting. Then this kind of interesting, right? We were talking about the Seahawks guys at the Adderall, and, you know, they're going to fight it. But Brandon Marshall from the Bears was talking about guys in the NFL are using Viagra as a PED. Now,
I can't imagine. Because it's meant to perform some other kind of, you know, enhance some other kind of performance.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just the blood rush and energy. I don't know. I just don't know. And I don't know what it
but
does.
But you know what it does tell you? It tells you that folks will do whatever it takes to get an edge. And
yeah,
it doesn't matter
what
sport it is. And so it's a cat and mouse game. You know, people push the envelopes. There's testing. People, you know, whatever gets caught, then people try something else. You know.
Well, look at baseball, right? Ruiz just got caught for amphetamines with the Phillies, so they had to sign a backup catcher who will be their backup catcher. I mean, you're right. It's a mess in every walk of life and every sport, and, you know, I don't know. Then also, look, we've got some other news that go to the college sports. Louisville, another team leaving the Big East, going to the ACC. Louisville replaces Maryland. Yada, 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 yada. I'm so sick of college football. And, you know, we can even touch on some of these issues with the Colorado head coach with a horrible record getting fired, African-American head coach. And, you know, it's just bringing up some stories and some controversies. I read an interesting article online. It was actually came out in June, and the guy, I tweeted it to you, but the guy was basically saying that, look, you know, he said it's in June that people should sort of be outraged by the small numbers of African-American black coaches. You know, even though obviously you've got programs like Texas A&M and Stanford, you know, it's like less than 12% of the FBS schools that have, you know, and hired black coaches going into this season. So, I mean, college sports, I don't know. The NCAA, to me, whether it's these teams switching conferences, obviously we've got, you know, different issues where, you know, in NFL, the Rooney Rule, at least, you know, when they hire somebody, they have to just interview an African-American coach, which I think is a good rule because that way candidates that maybe were not going to get an opportunity to just have an interview, get an interview, and they might be pleasantly surprised, right? Look, I'm a nice guy. If some guy at Ole Miss is thinking because I'm an African-American that I couldn't get along with the boosters or play golf or chit-chat with them and I couldn't be a leader of young men and run a college program, to me, I'd be like, you're crazy and it's unfair. I mean, don't assume just because that I'm, you know, not white that I could not, you know, take care of not just the kids in the football program but and education-wise, but also deal with the alumni. And so I think college football has got to start to look at it differently.
I think you hit on it, and this is what the dynamic of college football more than any other sport, and we're seeing it in every facet, and most of it is negative, is this whole issue of boosters, this whole issue of alumni and their influence on coaches and ADs and administration and so forth.
And the whole program.
In the pros, you maybe have some corporate affiliations and you have some, but really you go through a league and you have
a commissioner and owners. Yeah.
Right, and you have these formal arrangements. But these like backdoor deals where the coaches go out and meet with the alumni and the big contributors, the boosters or the top, you know, tier boosters, they get to sit down with the coach and with the AD and with and these people in the background are pulling the strings. That's a little shady. And frankly, I think we lose out because you have this big money grab here where not sure the student athlete and even the institutions are better off because of this. So it's always, I'm always skeptical when grown men, largely males, you know, have so much influence on young men, namely the 18 to 22 year old kids, student athletes in the programs. So these guys, and it's like the underbelly of college sports and specifically college football. Is this influence that these boosters have. And so apparently, you know, their influence goes way beyond just I give money, I get good seats, I get preferential treatment. I mean, they start influencing on who's the coach and who's the AD and what do we do. And you know, it's like really who are these people? They're just rich alumni that happen to contribute to the school. So, but this is such a money-making proposition, college football, that you see it's creating these four mega conferences that make no sense geographically, but it's just this engine that can't be stopped. I mean, second to pro football, college football is the next biggest thing. It's unbelievable. It's like this runaway train.
Oh, the second biggest sport in the United States of America is college football. College football is after the NFL. College football is bigger than the NBA and baseball. I mean, let's keep it real. Saturdays, you know, from the last weekend of August to, you know, New Year's Day and January 7th when the championship, college football is very, very influential, very powerful, and it's a lot of money. And I think all the more reason to have some sort of legislation because of the fact that, you know, these numbers, when you've got like 46% of the players are African-American and you've got, you know, look, there's like Division I schools. I mean, we're just talking FBS right now, 120, 15 out of 120. But it's like 17 out of the 333 or 336 schools. So that's not good.
And that's at an all-time high. You know.
And let's look at it like that. That is at an all-time high. So it's been so much worse. So I don't know. Hey, we're not going to beat up a dead horse.
One more note is baseball announced their Hall of Fame ballot. And we're going to start to get into the controversy. Maybe we don't do it on this show, but we'll talk about it later. But it's this whole notion of the steroids era. Because
now the real guys are up.
Right. Now Sosa and Bonds and Clemens, who are all Hall of Famers by their numbers, are up for Hall of Fame consideration, and now you got to start to decide, is this whole era tainted? Who's in? Who's out? First ballot, second ballot, and there's some other guys on the ballot like Piazza, and there's some guys that have been on the ballot for a while like Reigns and Bagwell and now Biggio. So there's some people that played in the steroid era. Maybe there was some sniffs, some rumors about steroids.
Yeah, and there was about Bagwell and Biggio, so we don't know.
Yeah,
you know.
And so how do you draw the line? But, yeah, it'll be interesting. So these guys are now officially on the ballot. So it's been 5 years since they retired. So it'll be real interesting. Mike Piazza, another one who's on the ballot.
Yeah, well, I put Piazza in, but I got to be honest. To me, you know, we'll talk about it more later, but just real quick, Bonds and Clemens are Hall of Famers before I think they started using. So that's just how those two guys, to me, are, you know, all-time legends.
And that's what most writers are saying. But, you know, they'll probably put them in the penalty box for a few years and then maybe put them in a few years' time. But we'll see.
So also, look, East Carolina is going to be in the Big East, right, going for football since they lost Louisville just for football only.
Yeah,
Tulane. And Tulane as well, right, for football or for both sports?
Both sports, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, East Carolina is just football. But it's just poor Big East.
It doesn't make any sense that you have Tulane and you have, you know, San Diego State. I mean, really, this is the Big East.
Yeah,
where's
well, look
in New Orleans?
Yeah, it's kind of outlandish. But let's talk about some positive stuff on the court. College basketball last night, ACC, Big Ten tournament challenge, some great, great games. I mean, looks like the Big Ten is like, hey, ACC, we are number one basketball conference. What'd you think about Michigan getting that W over NC State?
I was a little disappointed in NC State's performance in the first half, and then they had some foul trouble. So I thought this would be a close game. It ended up being a close game because Michigan couldn't put them away. But I think that they benefited from Howell getting in foul trouble in the first half. But I thought that front court of Howell and Leslie would give Michigan some trouble. But I tell you what, Michigan looks pretty good. Did you see what Trey Burke did? So not only did he have 18 points and 11 assists, but he had no turnovers. So a guy that plays basically the whole game and had 11 assists didn't turn the ball over once. I thought
but
that was
whole
great.
Team, though. That's what I like about Michigan. Their coach is he's doing a great job, and I think the Big Ten right now.
Your boy, Eli from West Virginia.
Yo, I think Big Ten right now has got some great coaches, him and Crane at Indiana. Of course, our boy Michigan State, Izzo. I mean, they're really doing a big thing. I mean, but what I like is Michigan, they're like, yo, we're getting the names. We're recruiting again. I mean, Glenn Robinson Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr., Burke.
Glenn Robinson the third. Get it right. Get your Glenn Robinson right.
Yeah, the third. Yo, that's big. That's little big dog to everybody else that knows what's up. Okay, there's little big dog. Yo, come on, man. His father at Purdue was absurd. I don't even want to, you know, get into. But how does he go to Michigan though? Right, his father went to Purdue.
That's true.
Come on,
but
you
he probably thinking
you.
Of Purdue with Gene Katie, which is it's not the same. But
Purdue's not the same.
Dunked it on Greg Ostertag at Kansas in the Southeast Regional down in.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, go to YouTube. Look at the tapes. Forget Big Dog, who was nice in the NBA, mostly with the Bucks, right? But Big Dog at Purdue was a freaking monster. Oh, my gosh. He's one of the best college basketball players ever, easily.
He only played that 1 year, or was it 2 years? So he probably didn't have enough numbers behind him. But that year at Purdue.
Oh, no, not statistically, but just when he played.
Was awesome, yeah. He was unstoppable.
Right. And then, of course, we had the Hoosiers at home.
Oh, Lord.
With the Zeller boy, Cody Zeller, and all their players. They took care of North Carolina. It got ugly.
They were up by 9 at the half, so you figured, all right, Carolina. They started to pull away with about 5 minutes left in the first half. But then I think they went on something like a 20-3 run. I was watching this.
Be fair, PJ Harrison was out. He was hurt for North Carolina. But
true.
I got to say, I mean, you know, these other guys have got to develop. McAdoo, though, he is sort of our preseason All-American. I don't know if he's ready yet. He's kind of a tweener, kind of a 3-4.
Right.
And played some quality minutes last year with a high-ranking team and with Henson and Zeller going up against him in practice, everything. But he's James Michael McAdoo. I don't know.
I think the expectations are too high on him. He's probably not ready to step in. He's no Tyler Hansbrough, you know, who as a freshman was Psycho T was clearly ready. You know, I think he's going to take a little bit to develop and maybe towards the middle of the year and maybe even next year. So he shouldn't go pro. He should definitely stay. But I tell you what, Indiana looks tough, and they're getting three more guys back after this Butler game. But, yeah, Cody Zeller, you know, I ripped him a little bit for not imposing his will at the Barclays Center in that two-game, tournament. Mm. He looked good. He looked good.
He's
only
nice.
28
I'm
minutes.
To tell you.
Yeah, he had 20-8 and 4 blocks, so he played bigger than he
and
did
he's
against
very
Georgetown.
Efficient.
Yeah, very efficient. Super efficient.
Great
like
hands. And a better athlete than both his brothers, better than Luke and Tyler. You know,
sure. No,
they all could run the floor.
He's got to develop what he is. You know, is he a finesse four? Is he going to bulk up a little bit and do a little bit more? You know, what's his offensive game? He's a great passer for a big man, so that's good.
Yeah.
Good to have those kind of skills. But yeah, I'd like again another guy I'd like to see stay another year, but he probably won't.
It's hard, right? Like, I mean, I just wish that the NBA and college could kind of work together. Let's. You know, my argument is this. Like I told you and I told Anthony when we had him on our show, Anthony Donahue, I was basically like, look, we've got to get a minor league. The D League is great, and let's develop it more. And let's have every team have a D League team and it be a minor league like baseball. And for guys that are coming out of high school that don't have the grades or don't have the desire to go to college, they can go to the D League and develop. And if an NBA team wants to bring them up and give them a shot, great. And if not, they just play on a D-League team for a year or two. And then the guys that want to go to college, they've got to stay. Like, you could do football 3 years or at least 2 years. 2 years is fine. You're going to develop this and that. But to me, there's got to be a 2 or 3 year rule. I would say 3, like football, you know, but 2 is not
baseball,
bad. But this one and done.
Well.
Yeah, this one and done does just not work. It's hurting the game. And hold on, we got to give some love, right? There's some great games tonight, but also last night, Minnesota looked good, beating Florida State. And can I get a
Cubby.
Yo Terps? Alex Len and the Terps. Yo, they were up by 2 at Northwestern at the half. They went on a run. It was like in the start of the second half, it was a 20-2 run. And next thing I know, I looked up, it was 65-45, and then went on to just spank them. The Maryland Terrapins, they got a decent
Alex
team.
Alex was looking good. Yeah, Alex Len was
good. He's
good,
but I'd like him to stay 2 years at least. You know what I mean? So that's an example. These cats that come in, I don't want them just to bounce right away.
I think they'll figure something out.
So what are you liking tonight, man? Duke, Ohio State is a great game.
Yeah,
Michigan State, Miami.
Well, do you realize that Duke now has played, it's only November, and Duke has now played 3 top 25 teams. I'm sorry, 3 top 5 teams.
Yeah.
3 top 5 teams in the first 3 weeks of the season. So Duke's not avoiding anybody.
No, I think that's what's so great about college basketball is that, you know, you can lose early on in the season to good teams. But it doesn't hurt you like it could in college football. You get one or two losses in college football, your season's over. College basketball, there's a tournament. And having a tough schedule, it doesn't penalize you. You get love. You get props for it. So college basketball is great, and I think that's what makes it so great because people don't shy away. I mean, obviously you can't shy away from your own conference, so the SEC's always got great games and stuff like that, and some of the Big Ten, Pac-12, stuff like that. But I love these out-of-conference basketball games. you know, in tournaments or just, you know, these matchups, you have great games early on in the season. It makes the sport so exciting, you know. And then March Madness is the greatest event probably in sports history. So that is.
Yeah, but I look forward to this Duke game, this Duke OSU game at 9:30 tonight. That's going to be a great game. I mean, I think that Duke is tough at home. I don't see them losing at home, but this kid Thomas is a handful. So Plumlee on Duke's side, and then Thomas, and Duke's got some. You know, got some punch. It all with Duke. It all comes down to threes, right? They defend pretty
well. Steph Curry
well.
and some of the guards. They have to be consistent, right?
They have to hit their threes, though. They live and die by the threes. Duke does. So, it all comes down to, you know, what it is they can do from the perimeter, because they've got some, you know, they've got some decent interior play with the Plumlee brothers and Kelly. But ultimately, they live and die by those threes, and against an athletic Ohio State team, we'll see if they can defend the three.
Right, and see how they handle Kraft, Aaron Kraft, the point guard from Ohio State.
Duke's got a lot of confidence too, right? Because they beat Kentucky last week and they beat Louisville, so they're like, okay, you're a top five team, bring it on.
I kind of want to see. I've heard things about this young Miami team, so I'd like to see Miami against Michigan State. I think that's actually going to be a very scrappy, exciting game. Miami is supposed to be a top five team in ACC this year, so let's see what they can do against Michigan State. That should be interesting. Hey, why don't we just take a quick break and then let's jump into the pros, the NBA, and take a quick spin around the league. We'll be right back, Ray and Tay.
Association. That's the National Basketball Association, a.k.a.
The Lakers
NBA.
Are a freaking mess. All I got to say is before I break down this Laker thing that's got me kind of like bugged out about Kobe and the 7-8 Lakers and D'Antoni, all I got to say is, yeah, Brooklyn, you got the first one. We'll see you soon. And if Melo would have hit that shot, it would have been a whole different conversation. That's all I got to say.
Oh, relax. I'm a Knicks.
That's all
relax.
I got to say. No Jason Kidd, no Shumpert, no Amari. That's all I got to say. No, not because Brooklyn. Listen, come on, man. Jay-Z's corny. Oh, the city's under new management. That's what he tweeted. Shut the heck
He's
up,
He's promoting
come on.
His team. Come on, man.
Just like
three
I'm,
more times in the next 3.5 weeks. There's an 82-game season.
I know,
Let it play out.
Cat's a little too feeling himself, too hyped up. But I'm gonna say that, right? Look, last night your boy, flu-like symptoms. I'm tired. Look, if you're playing, you're playing. I don't want to hear about, you know, everybody trying to recreate, and Kobe's done it 2 or 3 times now, recreating the Jordan game. Yes, he's averaging 27.7 points a game, had 40 last night, 40, 10, and 10. But it's not the 10 assists. It's 10 turnovers, okay? Kobe was just out of control, reckless. He's only averaging 17 shots a game. Last night shot 28. So it's not like he's been reckless for the season. He's actually been very efficient. But, they lost at home to the Pacers to put him at 7-8. The Pacers have
not
Sam
only
Young
lost
and Stevenson
the Pacers,
at the 3.
But gave up 79 points. It's not like they lost, you know, 100.
No. Listen, under D'Antoni, they're playing great defense, right? Howard's punching shots. Guys are hustling. So give him credit for that. But, I mean, they don't know how to use Gasol at all. And, you know, there's some issues and grumblings and rumblings. And, you know, we could throw it out there. Would you do a Paul Gasol trade for Amari Stoudemire? Because people are talking about that. And it's kind of interesting, right? Because D'Antoni's worked well with Amari before. And he's going to have Nash coming back healthy.
And Nash
could be like,
worked
look,
well with Amari before.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's like, yo, I could.
Well, D'Antoni has in New York, obviously, and in Phoenix, and Nash has in Phoenix. So they got a lot of connections to Amari.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm kind of like, but you know what? I think we got to send out some apology notes to a brother named James Harden. James Harden, fifth in the league in scoring, and tonight he goes back home to Oklahoma City, averaging 25.1 a game. Harden has been doing big things. Do we need to send out that letter? Or should we wait? Let's wait to the All-Star break, because right now...
Well, maybe we'll wait, but I've written out Dear James. So at least I got the salutation ready.
Okay.
Because,
because he deserves that much.
Yeah, we definitely get a Dear James. Because we thought, collectively, both of us, that he's a very solid player. But if he's your best player on your team, he's not worth it. He's not a max player. Remember we had Anthony on the show. We talked about, is he a max player?
Max player.
But he's mad max. Because
right now, yeah,
this dude is averaging 25 points a game, averaging 4.5 rebounds a game, and 5.5 assists a game, and almost 1.8 steals a game. So he is the real deal. I mean, this guy, you couldn't have asked for more if you're Daryl Morey and you're the Houston Rockets management and you're Kevin McHale. Oh, by the way, shout out. We forgot to mention Kevin McHale had the tragedy with his daughter.
Rest in peace, his daughter, man. That was rough. And then also on the baseball front, what's his name? Miller, the lawyer who represented the baseball players. Marvin Miller died at 94. But for people who don't know, him and Curt Flood are like the glue and the fathers to creating free agency so all these cats could have the money that they have now in baseball. So,
they should all contribute some money to the Miller Scholarship Fund or endowment or something like that, because everybody owes him a debt of gratitude, not only nominally, but with some cash. I mean,
definitely.
Look, when he took over
the Baseball Players Association, their average salary was like $52,000. The average salary now is $3 million.
Sports went up, but one of the things that helps players is they're free agents. They can bid other teams against each other. I mean, look at Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin basically got this money from the Rockets because he played the Rockets against the Knicks. And if it was just the Rockets against themselves, they wouldn't have had to pay this money. Or the Knicks could have signed him for less.
But you know what? Give the Rockets some love, right? So Harden, Lin, and Omer Oshik, 12.4 rebounds a game. And Chandler Parsons, and Patterson, they're draft picks playing the 3 and 4. Terrence Jones is starting to come in and play. They are building a nice little team. And, McHale's got to be happy. I think that, they're doing big things, and, that's good. I hope the Knicks get a W tonight.
Because they went out on a limb and paid Oshik and Lin a lot of money. And people were taking them.
Yeah, and people ripped them. They got ripped all over the country for that.
Yeah, who are these two guys? I mean, they each had one good year. Omer Oshik had that 1 year. Really, when Carlos Boozer went down, so second half of last year. But really, he was relegated to a backup because between Gibson and Noah and Boozer in Chicago, there was no room for him. And Jeremy Lin had that stretch of 15, 20 games where he was Linsanity. And so everybody was getting on Daryl Morey for just spending money willy-nilly. But these guys are delivering. I mean, Oshik more than Jeremy Lin, but 12.5 rebounds a game, 10.5 points a game for what was considered to be a career backup. Omer Oshik is doing his thing. Good for him.
Yeah, well, it seems like he learned from banging with Boozer, Gibson, and Noah, so that's good. But two interesting things, right? Number one, this is not like such a big deal early in the season, but I just thought it was interesting, right? Tyson Chandler, the Knicks go to Milwaukee tonight, and he had a career high, 28 points, career high against the Brooklyn Nets. But he's shooting 70% from the field. The next guy is Landry and Dwight, both shooting 59%. So, that's like, okay, that's a nice difference in shoot and field goal percentage right there. So to me, I'm like, wow.
That means he's catching a lot of alley-oop dunks.
Yeah, he's kept, Raymond Felton, he's got to give him a thanks. But then another huge disparity, your boy Chris Paul, 9.5 assists. Good amount of assists, right, number two in the league. But Rajon Rondo is averaging 13.7. So it's like 14 assists a game, right? Let me ask you this, honestly. Pound for pound.
Right.
I think he's the number one stunner. I think he got the number one spot. I think Rajon Rondo is the best point guard in the NBA right now. I really do.
You know, it's interesting because it all depends on what you want from him.
I want
because
all around.
I would argue that all around, especially because of his defense, that he's the man. Because think about this. He's averaging 13.7 assists on a team that's not running up and down scoring 110 points. I mean, this isn't the Showtime Lakers or those Phoenix Suns teams where Steve Nash won his back-to-back MVPs. I mean, they're basically an old-ish, you know, semi-half-court team, and he's averaging 13.5 assists a game. And he's also one of the better on-ball defenders, and he steals the ball. And he's a leader. You know, there's nothing bad to say about Rondo. The only drawback to his game is in the fourth quarter, if they're double-teaming Paul Pierce and
can he bang down the jumper?
He's getting better, though.
Give him credit. He's shooting. He's getting better. He's getting some confidence. You know, we'll see. You know what happens with that. I'm interested to see, though, like, you know, there's always some matchups. Tonight we got the rematch where the Nets are going to Boston, where they, you know, they won in Brooklyn last time about a week or so ago. Now they're going to Boston tonight to see, you know, an Atlantic Division tough battle between Brooklyn and Boston. And then at the same time, I still think, I'm going to say it because I'm a Knicks fan, but I think the Knicks and Milwaukee Bucks is a big game. We seem to always have trouble with the Bucks. So Brandon Jennings
is just too quick for us.
Oof.
And
well,
now Monte
he's
Ellis,
having a great season.
Really quick.
Yeah, well, I like the all-around team, right? You got him, of course, Ellis. Dunleavy's playing good up front. You have a mixture of Larry Sanders and Henson and D'Alembert. So they got
Sammy
a nice little
D.
team. Samuel, right? So
remember when he was when he got drafted? I think he was the first of the dudes that in the NBA that they only, whatever, they have 15 people or so in the green room and they bring them to wherever they're doing the draft at the Garden or back
mm-hmm.
in the days, you know, the felt form or whatever.
Remember
and,
he had short sleeves on his suit. His arms were
no,
so low.
But he was the first of these cats that came out of, that
of
came
the crowd.
Of the crowd. They said,
yeah.
It was picked in the mid-20s. They said, you know, so-and-so, you know, from Villanova, Samuel D'Alembert. And the people were like, what? And then they just saw this big brother walking out of the
And
stand,
nowadays,
like,
a lot
here.
Of the French, I've noticed the last recent years, a lot of the French and some European players have been doing that, where they're like, yo, we're in the building, you know. Hey, give the Sixers some credit, right, beating Dallas last night. But they're only two losses behind the Knicks and the Nets. They're 9-6 ahead of Boston by half a game.
Without your boy, I didn't think they would be much. I didn't think they would do much at all.
So you got to give them a little bit of some love. And, you know, it's going to be a great, scrappy season.
Does Bynum come back this year? Does he make a meaningful impact, or should they just write him off?
They said indefinitely, so I don't know. He, you know, first we heard March, and then 2 days later it was like indefinitely. So maybe he does come back. Maybe they trade him. Maybe they just cut. We just won't know. You know, maybe he needs to just, I don't know. He's a mess. But the Grizzlies are 10-2. I do know that. So, shout out. I got to shout them out, man. They play some serious ball. I love that team. So, listen, let's do big things, man. And we just segue on here and talk about our segment.
Where are you at Wednesday? So, today's Wednesday.
Yes.
Got a segment called Where You At.
With some Big Ten
Wednesday
flavor, right?
And we just talked a little bit about some college basketball. We talked about the number one team in the country, Indiana. So
yes.
Ray and Tay decided to take you back on a trip down memory lane.
Let me drop a little hint. And we did mention the poor 0-12 Washington Wizards. And we hope John Wall and Nene come back so they can get a W.
Formerly
but this
the
guy,
Bullets.
Yes. This guy was a Bullet, not a Wizard.
I think it was both. I think they changed the name while he was there. But he started out as a Bullet for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and he's left-handed. And he used to play for the number one team in the nation right now, Indiana.
6'7", 210, shooting guard.
Calbert, Nathaniel, Chaney. So, Calbert Chaney, to those of you who remember him as a not really a prize recruit because he hurt his knee as a senior in high school, but really turned out to be a heck of a player for Bobby Knight. And
a local kid. He's from Evansville, Indiana.
Yep.
You know.
And by the way, we'll get to where he came full circle because he's back now for Indiana. And he's he's associated with the university. I saw him on the court, and I said, wait a minute, Cal Chaney is in the house. He's back. And so
Number
40. Green, yeah, he's working for the university. He's the director of internal and external player development, whatever that means.
I like that.
The director of operations for the IU basketball program.
Okay.
So Cal Chaney, so let's talk about him. So what do you remember about Cal Chaney?
Well, this is okay. I'm going to bounce around for a quick second, right? So he was a first-round pick, the number six pick to the Bullets, right, in 1993. To me, I just remember, number one, I wasn't sure what he was going to be in the pros, right? I didn't know if he'd be a two or a three. You know, he kind of had that game where he could be in between. But the one thing I felt about Calbert Chaney from watching him at Indiana, he went all 4 years. He was solid, and I just felt like Chaney would be a winner. You know what I mean? He came from a winning program and stuff like that. I think, unfortunately, when he went to the Wizards, it wasn't, you know, much of a team going on. I will say this about Chaney. Obviously, being a lefty, you know, we've been friends forever. I always, you know, pay attention to the lefty cats because, you know, Ray will let you know in a minute, be like, yo, he's a lefty.
That's place in my heart.
But I'll say this, right? I think, you know, his career stats won't blow you away. He averaged, you know, because he had some low seasons, so he only averaged 9.5, so like 10 points a game, like
his
two assists.
His career NBA stats.
No, I'm talking about NBA stats, right?
Yeah.
I'll let you, you know, jump into the college stuff, but... He had like, three rebounds, two assists, you know, whatever. But he had, in his first couple years, he had some decent seasons. You know, he averaged 16.6 in his second year, 12 his rookie year, you know, 15 his third. You know, so Calbert Chaney, he didn't blow you away, but 13 years in the NBA, that's a solid career. You know, I think anybody would sign up for 13 years in the NBA. Five different teams. He went from the Wizards to, you know, trade to Boston, Denver, Utah, and ended up at Golden State. I like Calbert Chaney. I like his game, and I think it's so fantastic that he's going back to the program. And, you know, he's like our age. He's 41. He's a lifer. He was born in 71, July 17th. To me, I think it's great to see him back, you know, sort of, full, like you said, full circle where it started. So let's... You know, I'll take you back there, and why don't you tell people who the star that he was at Indiana.
Yeah, so Calbert Chaney, he was nice. He came in, remember back in the days, Indiana won the national championship in 87 with Keith Smart's jumper in the
Schwepp
corner.
They
were really good in the late 80s and early 90s, and one of the big reasons for that was A, they were able to recruit based on that 87 championship team, which frankly wasn't that talented, but they were able to get some top recruits.
Steve Alford and Garrett, those are the guys. Dean Garrett.
Yeah, and Cal Chaney really, starting with his sophomore year, sophomore, junior, and senior years, I mean, the guy was a three-time All-American. And he was the 1993, his senior year, he was a player of the year. This guy led his team to the Final Four in 92 that year that Duke won the national championship. He went to the Elite Eight in 93. And for a four-year college career, the guy averaged 19.8, so just a shade under 20 points per game.
which is a lot in college.
It's a ton in college, considering that usually your freshman year you stink it up and you average, you know, 3, 4, 5 points per game. That hurts your average. So as a senior, he averaged something like 20, just a shade under 23. So he was consistently between, you know, 15 and 23 points a game. So this guy was consistently doing work, and he is the Big Ten's all-time leading scorer. And, of course, by virtue of being the Big Ten's all-time leading scorer, is IU's all-time leading scorer. So Cal Chaney, to me, what I liked about him and what made his game appealing was he was – a lefty, first of all, but even
that
more than that,
pull up floating jumper,
yeah, pull up sweet in control.
Yeah,
your body is squared up. He wasn't leaning. He wasn't out of control. Even though another lefty that I love, totally different player, Walter Berry, was the complete opposite, where he was just herky jerky, and he used the fact that he was a lefty to his advantage. Right, he would do this little wrap around shot, but Cal Chaney was just so solid fundamentals. His legs were
and not the
up.
Greatest athlete either.
Not just, the, no, but he had great form. He was 6'7". He was crafty. He would come off screens. He would find his way. He'd hit that 17-foot jumper, and you know he was a pleasure to watch. He was a great college player. He ended up being a nice NBA player. Solid. He's had 13-year solid NBA career, but just that lefty solid kid from Indiana who goes to Indiana, plays for Bobby Knight, you know, dealt with him, stayed for 4 years, did yeoman's work, went to one Final Four, three-time All-America, so he put in his work, and
great
to see him coming back and returning to the program.
And now we know where he's at.
Exactly. Where you at, Calvert Chaney? We know where you at. You're on the sideline.
Yeah, nah. Listen, you can't help but just think about great things and talk about great things with Calvert Chaney, man. So that right there is definitely good stuff. Well, listen, let's tell people, email us right at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com and send us some people that you might like for where you at, because we definitely like to hear what people think, and it could be, college basketball, football, baseball, NBA, any sport, just sort of looking at a player that's not necessarily the greatest player, but someone that, people would remember, kind of obscure, but at the same time, it could be anything. But just this guy, he touched all three sides, right? The college, the NBA, and then now back into, not coaching, but running with, a program and helping run a university, So that's a big thing. So let's take a quick break, and then we will preview the start of week 13, the last week of your fantasy season for fantasy football owners. We'll talk about that and the Saints and the Falcons. Ray and Tay.
Talking some NFL Week 13, and speaking of superstitions,
break it.
If the Saints have any superstitions, they should pull them out. If you need to pull out the, the rabbit's foot, or you need to, wear those lucky sneakers, or you need to eat your pregame Taco Bell, or whatever your pregame superstition is.
Well, I think
is,
it's Atlanta, right?
Because
the Saints have been beating them lately. They own the Falcons.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Drew Brees, he's been doing big things against them. So, to me, I look at it like the Falcons, even though they're at home, they got to be the ones to sort of keep hope alive and keep it going. That's what's going to be interesting about this game. I mean, obviously, they played a couple of weeks ago, to a great game, 31-27, down in New Orleans, and Gonzalez didn't make that catch on third down and ended the drive on fourth down. And I don't know. To me, I think about a team on momentum. They did lose, you know, to a great Niners team last week at home. But I think the Saints are hot. I think they got their confidence back with Joe Vitt being there. I think that Breeze and the boys
they're
very desperate, right? Because they see the hope. They see Seattle and the Packers, but more so Seattle, that sixth seed, is just two games away. And also with these guys maybe losing their top two corners. Now, look, the Saints, let's not fool you. They got a tough schedule. They still got to play at Dallas. They still play, I believe, the Giants as well. They play Tampa. So they've got some tough games. But I think what's going to happen here is that we're going to have a repeat of last time. I just think it's going to be the Saints winning again, but I'm looking, you know, not 31-27. Maybe I think the defenses play a little bit more of a role in this game, and I think the Saints win 24-23.
Wow, okay.
And I think the Saints are going to run the ball more. I think, you know, Sproles being back, but I think Ingram and Ivory are warming up. And I think that, you know, they know each other so well. I don't think it's going to be a straight up just, you know, boom, 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 shoot them out. I think the defenses will rise up a little bit more in this game.
You got to rise
up. Get the W. Rise up.
I actually like the Saints, too, but I think it's going to be a shootout because I think that when these two teams get together, points, it's like a pinball.
Parade
of points. So I have a question for you. For me, Darren Sproles. What do you think about Darren Sproles? He came back last week. He had five catches.
You got to play him
this week? For sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I play him. I play him. I play it just depends on who's out for you, right? So let's say you need a running back. Let's say you didn't get Sean Moreno, and, you know, like you picked up Hillman. You know, I'd play Turner. I'd play Jacquez. I'd play Sproles, you know.
And what about this kid Brown from Philly? Everybody's
If Cats can get him, he wasn't already picked up, he's somebody I would definitely play. It looks like they said Vic and McCoy are both doubtful for the Sunday night game against Dallas, which is kind of like wild, right? Vic must have had the most ridiculous concussion ever. This is the third week he'll be out, and McCoy is his second week. So,
much farther along than McCoy, though. They say Vic is momentarily, his return is coming pretty soon, but McCoy is just what they call a stage one, so he needs to pass a few stages before he even gets considered to come
back.
Right,
stage one, that means he's still having the headaches, so the headaches have got to stop. You know, and it's sad. Look, we got to take this serious, and I don't want to rush any player back, and nor do I think any player should rush back, and especially not on the Eagles when your season is already such a mess, right? You're not rushing back to go nowhere. But it's surprising, that's all. I'm just sort of surprised, you know. But, I would definitely take Bryce Brown. You just don't know. I take Dwyer. I take Bryce Brown. I take Michael Bush this week. Maybe LaMichael James, because Gore is a little banged up, and he'll definitely get some carries, him or Jacobs. We'll see where they go with that, you know, for the Niners. This is it for the fantasy football heads. I mean, Ray and I, we're battling. You know, I need to win. And also, we play each other in fantasy basketball this week in our Ray and Tate today.
Yeah.
And we're both doing horrible in that league because we got a lot of injured players. But so shout out to the guys in that league if they're listening. But we definitely got to, you know, step up.
I got Kevin Love back in that league. But
he's doing big things for you.
We got to make up a lot of ground.
You're cool with that. I'm still waiting for Amari and Dirk, right? So I still got a couple of weeks, I think, for both of them. But fantasy football-wise, man, this is it. So, listen, you know, there's no more bye weeks. You got to just, you know, hopefully your guys are healthy. And to me, you got to play matchups. You got to play matchups. You know, you can't, you know, don't play. Like, to me, I don't trust McFadden. He's coming back. I wouldn't trust him. I'd stick with Marshall Reese if he got him.
Especially in PPR formats, because Marshall Reese, even with McFadden, was catching those balls. But at the slightest sign of McFadden being injured or being ineffective, Marcel Reus has done a great job filling in. In fact, he probably needs to start somewhere. The good thing about him is they could get away
and
with playing him at the fullback.
He's having more yards per carry. More yards per carry, too, running the ball.
Then D-Mac, and you know McFadden, when he's healthy, is as explosive as it gets. It's just he can never stay healthy.
Yeah, but this season he wasn't doing that much, even before he got hurt.
Well, that's true. But last season,
that's the problem.
Eight games that he was healthy, he was the man. I mean, look at where he went in fantasy. Not that fantasy tells you much, but it's based on last year, and he was going, you know, top 15 in fantasy. So there's a lack of talent at the running back position, and Darren McFadden is one of the more talented guys. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah,
but
my
philosophy of matchups, but
and it worked out. You saw in my other league, I had the Bears defense, so I did not start them against Minnesota last week, and I went for the Rams against the Arizona Cardinals and a rookie quarterback, and my Rams defense got me like 30 points compared to the Bears defense
getting
13,
15. I hear what you're saying, and I consider matchups, but my philosophy is if you've got elite players, they're elite because they're elite over 16 games. And within 16 games, yeah, they might have 2, 3, 4 games that aren't great, but the reason they're elite is because they're excellent and consistently excellent. So I tend to go with the proven guys more than the matchup. You tend to like matchups more. If it's a tie,
that's my philosophy just for defense, right? And it pays off because of the fact that, look, it doesn't hurt you in fantasy football to have a second defense, especially when you have the fifth or sixth receivers on your bench, or a fourth or fifth running back, and these guys aren't playing; they're just sitting there. So to me, as a owner and being a good fantasy football GM, if you're sixth receiver and you're fourth running back aren't playing, especially towards the end of the season for the playoffs, these guys won't play, right, if your guys are healthy. So have a second or third defense so you can go with a better matchup and play against, you know, you want to play against a horrible offense. You just do. You want to play the Jets. You want to play the Cardinals offense. These teams with bad offensive lines and jacked up quarterbacks, because the percentages for turnovers, you know, work to your favor. And it's logic to me, it works, and it worked for me last week, and it definitely got me, you know, it helped me out. So
do you got one fantasy standout this week? I mean, look, it's desperation time, especially for people that are fighting for the last.
Well, listen, I think Lance Moore will have a big game. I picked up Cecil Shorts a couple of weeks ago, and he's paid off huge dividends for me.
Oh,
I think because Jacksonville's playing Buffalo. Now, listen, the Buffalo's defense is a lot better than it started off the season, but I think you can definitely look at a Mercedes Lewis, you know, if you've got Gronk and he's not coming back, or you could look at a, you know, a guy like that. Interestingly enough, Mike Thomas, who was on Jacksonville, is now a Detroit Lion. I noticed that the other day in Thanksgiving game. So, you know, those Detroit receivers, Mike Thomas and the Brian Broyles kids or whatever from Oklahoma. I don't know what's up with Titus. You know, with the disciplinary issues, I don't know what he's doing. So, So listen, you know, this is the game right here. People got to get themselves ready for the last week to make your playoff push in fantasy football, and then in the NFL, this is a big division matchup. You know, we both got the Saints, and you know, it should be fun. Let's hope ACC can take care of the Big Ten a little bit tonight. The Knicks at Milwaukee, the Nets at Boston. You know, we got some good NBA games and matchups. And the Rockets, watch the Rockets at OKC with your boy Harden's return.
Yeah, that's always
you
fun.
Know.
You know, and he should get a standing ovation because he didn't
demand.
Oh,
yeah, he was traded. He didn't leave.
He wasn't trying to get out of there. He wanted to stay.
Yeah.
And I think the
fans
in Oklahoma City will give him that props. Look,
passionate. Classy fans.
Yeah, all the guy did was give his heart and soul, and you know what? He had a bad NBA Finals. That's the worst you can say about him.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. So, hey,
all right, we had
a
great
show.
Time.
Yeah.
Ray and Tay today. Tune in on Friday. We got some good juicy stuff to talk about. We'll preview the NFL weekend, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, and just today. a little tease, man. The top five lefties
top
of
five
all
Friday.
Time. So email us, right? Email us. Lefties in all sports, your top five. So, all right. Ray.
We're out.
Turk.
See you next.
Peace. Shout out to that new Alicia Keys CD. There you go. Check it out.
Don't you sound good?
You complete. The speaker. Copped out of iTunes.
Awesome.
Dessert.
Hey, I've never been this good, not ever. Not ever. Never seen a star to me. I know that nothing lasts forever. However,